Welcome to The Greatest, a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome to another episode of The Greatest. I'm one of your hosts, CJ Toledano, joined by my wife,
Megan Gailey.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you doing?
Doing great. Post-Thanksgiving, I already don't want to do anything. Yeah, that's how I'm feeling.
Okay.
How are you feeling?
Did you eat well on Thanksgiving?
Yes, I ate very well. You saw me, and I felt all levels of sickness. But yeah, I'm happy about what we did.
I'm happy about what we did too. Let's bring in our guests so then we can really get the Thanksgiving.
Yeah, we've already been talking.
Popping. You want an intro?
Yeah, why not? Very, very good friend to both of us. Very, very funny comedian, writer, director. One of the reasons why we're having him on the show is because he has a new movie coming out. Pre-orders are already up. I've heard it's important. It's called Derek's Dead. Without further ado, welcoming the star, the writer, the director. Maybe he edited a little bit of it. Kurt Neal.
Wow.
Hey, what's up?
Good to see you guys.
I did edit the whole thing pretty much. Clay helped a little.
That's incredible. Yeah.
On what, iMovie?
It could have been bad. I don't. Maybe I edited it bad. Nobody has said anything yet, so I think I did good.
No, I'm sure you did great. Kurt,
I saw it. It's very, very funny.
You've already seen it?
Yeah, I saw it. There was I think it was like the week of our wedding, because Kurt, you came into town, yeah, and you did a little premiere downtown LA.
It was like the Monday before the wedding. We did a little friends and family thing at the Downtown Independent. My parents and my brother were there. That was tight. And a bunch of pals showed up. I literally assumed Megan was just too busy because she's more successful.
Well, no. Now that I hear it, it's like, what was I doing? And it's like, yeah, I was obviously somewhere just being a bitch about the wedding.
Of course, you had every reason not to be there. Yeah.
Well, I was very hungry that week. and so there weren't a lot of activities on my plate. Kurt is joining us from Oregon.
Yeah, we're in Oregon.
Oregon. Ever heard of it?
Oh, I love Oregon.
It's a beautiful state. I'm in Pleasant Hill, Oregon, which is right by Eugene, Oregon.
I mean, that's not and even Pleasant like Hill that name exactly even. Yeah.
That's exactly where I grew up. You go south from Eugene, you take Highway 58. You go up this little hill after the gas station. That's literally where Pleasant Hill starts. We're the first driveway on the right.
Oh, tell us about the kind of trees you're seeing up there.
We got a bunch of pine. Mm. And then we got them all, to be perfectly honest. I'm embarrassed because I can't name more than pine. But we've got pine for sure.
But you got big ones and small ones.
We got huge ones in the forest, and we got little ones in the city with all the leaves, and they turn brown. And now they're on the street, and now everybody's blowing the leaves, and that seems like a waste of time, but everybody's doing it.
Well, they blow them into bags, right? They blow them in.
Yeah, but why do you do that? Can't you just leave them there?
Well, I don't know what they do. Honestly, I've seen people do it my whole life. Do they burn them? Is there a special recycling land for leaves?
Real?
You can burn them, but only at specific times. There's sometimes you can't burn because everything's too dry. So you got to make sure it's dry enough to burn, but can't be too
I meant like, does someone in charge burn them?
Probably just one guy. I think there's
Mr. Leaf Incinerator.
He went to college. He had to get a PhD in flammables.
All right, two things so, here. I just want to let the audience in on Kurt. Not only you're a comedian with all that stuff that we named earlier, but you're also our friend that really truly brings out the silliest in everyone you hang out with. Me specifically. So
that's a cool compliment. Thanks, man.
Dude, yeah, no, Megan, because. So we played that Quiplash game.
Yes.
And again, I don't know if any of this is interesting, but Megan like rolled her eyes when she saw immediately you and I.
I didn't roll my eyes.
Us interacting
with each
other.
You weren't even with me. But I'm saying, when I watched you guys, but I voted. you're saying you saw me roll my eyes.
That's the appropriate response.
We're not saying you're wrong.
But the thing is,
there's eight people on this thing, and me and CJ are making jokes at each other.
Yeah.
And they weren't good.
Good. I voted for a lot of yours. Kurt was the winningest. I was the second winningest in our quip.
TJ probably got last.
We beat a man in Louis Vertel, who I have so much respect and admiration for, has been on Jeopardy, is one of the funniest, smartest people. And you and CJ were able to effectively silence a genius just by being
stupid.
You know,
I left the Zoom feeling guilty that the guy never got to say anything.
Did you know him?
Let the guy get a word in. I've never met him in my
life.
Oh,
wow. Kurt, you were roasted.
Kurt, he has a famous GIF, one of the most famous GIFs of all time on the internet.
Oh, he's the GIF master.
He was just on Jeopardy and he got, he got like the Jeopardy, you know,
the Daily Double,
is what my dad calls it. Hello. See, I mean, I come from silly stock. So he got the Daily Double.
You're not silly in your family.
And then he like snaps and he's just the best. He's so smart too.
I apologized to him once. I cut him off and I said, sorry, you didn't get that joke in, man.
Ooh, that sounded like a cutting roast, but.
No, it wasn't me personally.
And then what else I was going to say, I'm going to lead this back to sports, but the Leaves thing,
make this podcast about Leaves.
This is a story from another podcast. Truly, this has nothing to do with anything except for the Leaves. Fun story, Pasadena. So the movie Halloween.
Yeah, for
was
sure.
Filmed in Pasadena, less than 10 minutes from where we, Megan and I, sit today. And this is crazy. So they would carry around one bag of leaves because it was like filmed during the summer when there was no leaves.
Right.
There's really not leaves, any time of the year.
Here in LA. And so one person would carry around the same bag of leaves wherever they shot. Yeah, the leaves. Yeah. And then they would, after the scene was done, they would then put the leaves back in the bag and then they would move to another location
and then dump those same leaves.
There was obviously someone, like some sort of set person that was like, if you fuck up, don't lose a leaf. We hear these stories in Hollywood. Like the one that's coming to mind is like the guy that had to hold Russell Crowe's cigarette for him when he was playing a boxer in something like couldn't. So there's all of these. There was a guy and they're going to do this. So I won't even say they stole it from me. They should do like a AMC series where they interview whoever that like person is that there's these Hollywood urban legends about.
I'd love that.
Almost like a drunk history thing where like PAs go and tell their terrible stories.
Yeah.
And they
I bet it would be a lot of PAs. I bet it'd be a lot of drivers.
Stop talking about this. This is a good idea.
Mickey Rooney threaten to murder a guy if his like wife was in the water for five more minutes for this weird movie I was working on that him and his wife were also in it. And it all had to be night shoots, but there was also a lot of water stuff. So it was like cold. And they're both Mickey Rooney and his wife, like Mickey Rooney was like 80, his wife was at least like 60s.
Whoa, that's gross.
And she had to be in the water for this thing. And they were like going beyond when they were supposed to go. And Mickey and the producer had to like beg Mickey Rooney to let him keep shooting. And Mickey Rooney like was right that like, hey, she shouldn't be in this water anymore. But he went too far when he's like, if anything happens to her, I'll fucking kill you.
Wow.
Hear me? I will fucking kill you.
And is he passed? Is he passed?
He might be by now. So
yeah, past 100.
Because I just don't want him to come for our podcast.
You can cut it too.
We're keeping that puppy in.
I don't know if CJ wants this brought up.
Mikey Rooney, sir.
Mikey Rooney. I don't know if CJ wants this brought up, but I'm going to accidentally bring it up. Someone last week was like, have you ever eaten bugs? Was asking me like if I had ever eaten bugs. And I was like, God, I think I feel like I eat a grasshopper or something. And then they were like, and then I go, oh yeah, I got high and ate grasshoppers with two NBA legends. And somehow the story, I just was like, I can't remember if I ate a bug. And then I was like, I was with John Sally and Nate Robinson and we got high while eating bugs together. And it left my brain somehow.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's great.
It's crazy. That's a great story. Yeah. We didn't think a week ago, and I've been excited for this fight since July or whatever, but Megan and I are very connected to Nate Robinson.
Oh, I don't know if we'd say very connected.
Not very connected, but
we both met him.
We text every day.
Yeah.
We've both met him. We've both met his assistant/friend.
But
same one, maybe not.
Yeah, of course.
And we both love him. And he like complimented, CJ met him first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, he did the House Highlights show, and maybe one of my favorite guests. He led a snake and spider, and he was just, before the show, he took a shirt off, him and his friend, and played ping pong, like, very, very competitively.
Of course, you have to.
And, like, we had to pull him in to be like, hey, you got to put on a shirt and do the show.
Please come do the thing you're here for.
Yeah.
And then I
And then, like, months later, Megan.
Yeah, I met him maybe 6 months later, and I was obviously, like, nervous. I was wearing these really thick wedge shoes. They're called Melissa's. And so I was substantially taller than him. And so I was like chatting with him. And then I was like, I actually think you've met my boyfriend. I think CJ was my boyfriend at the time. And right. I was like, House of Highlights. And he goes, Indian. And I go, Filipino. Indian. And he goes, that's right. But I was like, there isn't. The other guy is Indian. Like, he wasn't being he just was like, I don't know if it's the Indian or the
Which
Filipino.
One? Yeah.
For the Which record, the Nate and I bonded over fashion, over clothes. He really enjoyed. Really? Yeah.
I didn't know you were a clothes guy.
So we're sad about Nate is what we're trying to say. But we're on Nate's side.
I wasn't even close to the guy, and I was pretty bummed.
I didn't watch it.
He's a Pacific Northwest guy as well. Like,
he was just a cool basketball player in Jake Paul's trash. So, like, of course everyone was sad for Nate Robinson.
Yeah, I mean, so can I ask you, because I've been obsessed over the last couple of days. Like,
yeah,
I've been doing a deep dive on, like, what was going on through Nate's. Like, and I watched all the vlogs before, and, you know, truly the magic of editing in sports, it's like he looked like he was training for real. But
yeah,
well, he's also maybe jacked. He's jacked, so ripped.
He must have just assumed, like, he's the only athlete between the two, so he's probably fine. And Jake Paul looks like Jake Paul actually worked pretty fucking hard.
Well, I guess he was like boxing before. I don't know the difference between Jake Paul and Logan Paul.
Nor should you.
But I know I don't like either one.
And even
if you were like, no, this one is better, I'd be like, nope. Nope.
Someone made a joke about, like, now he's just like, he's following in his older brother's footsteps of staring at a dead guy or something.
Well, yeah,
like,
because
younger one. I thought he was the one that did the thing.
That's what I thought too. And then I was like, wait, if that's your role model, you know, like, if your big brother is the worst piece of shit, you're either going to be like incredible or you're going to be the next worst piece of shit.
Yeah. You either have to one up or like do something completely different.
And okay.
Jake one-upped him.
So, Nate, from the greatest, and Kurt Neal, we are sending you a speedy recovery. I'm sure he's okay at this point. I bet he's still like on the couch.
He's watching
Queen's Gambit.
I sent the video to Kurt and I's brother. We call it the Brother Ball chat room or group chat.
In the chat room.
But there's a video of him at the JW Marriott. There was like this guy who follows boxing. Videotaping and does like interviews, and he recorded Nate coming into the hotel of the JW, and he's like, Nate, what's up? And Nate was so cool. And like,
he said, hey, I'm Nate. I know my first name.
I'm good.
I'm Nate.
That JW, this is the JW Ritz Carlton. Is that what's called? Ritz Carlton. There was a Rich Charles in Indianapolis.
Rich
and I was
Charles?
Like, that's
Rich Charleston.
No, it was Rich Charles. And it's like, that's clearly a ripoff. Like, it's Tipsy Girl.
What did you call it?
Cheater Brand.
There's all these connectors.
I go, there's
it.
A whole season. There's like a whole plot on Real Housewives of New York about Cheater
Brand. I almost
called
it Desperate Housewives.
Okay. Again. So the.
Hey, let's do one called Desperate House Guys.
People are like, where do you go to see celebs in LA? I have no idea. I cannot tell you. But the one place where I've seen more celebs than anywhere else, it's the Ritz-Carlton JW Marriott in LA Live. Oh, it's
and
popping.
Megan, I swear to God, when I...
The last place you'd think they'd be. Like, why are you there?
Well, the reason I've seen people there is... For the ESPYs, that's where everybody stays because it's Staples Center.
Sure.
Well, but then like anything that's happening at Staples Center and then Microsoft Theater is like the Grammys and the ESPYs, a bunch of award shows. Yeah.
So he literally in the video, he walks to the elevators and all I could think of was when you were in the elevator with DeAndre Jordan.
Yes.
And what was the joke he said in there?
So the elevator was packed because the ESPYs had just ended. Like, 5 minutes ago. So it was packed. Maybe 15 people in an elevator, like craziness. And a guy like pops up like right as it's closing. And he's like, DeAndre, can I get $20? Like a stranger. And then the doors close and it's kind of quiet. And then DeAndre looks at all of us. He goes, what the fuck? And we're all like, yeah, what the fuck? That was weird. And so yeah, then people are having laughs, and then he's getting off the elevator. And as the doors were closing, I go, hey, DeAndre, can I get $20 though? And then the elevator laughed at me. And I think I was probably the only woman on the elevator. Like, I felt like it was my moment. I wouldn't have just done that out of nowhere.
That's gutsy even to go for in that scenario. That's a great joke.
But then we saw Jemele Hill in the lobby, and I was so drunk holding my shoes, like barefoot, like you are a hero to me. I mean, sure. You know, just
drunk white woman celebrating the black woman.
Writer. I saw the, what's the bad, what's Floyd Mayweather's crew? The Get Money Gang?
The Money Men.
I don't know. They had like eight Rolls Royces outside of their ones, like right, green, on top of orange. Yeah.
A double decker Rolls Royce. Okay. So, Kurt, we'll get it back to you. We just needed to talk about Nate Robinson a little bit. And
Leaves and Nate Robinson.
But so, this is a question only specific to you. Are you a good athlete? It is a total setup.
Yes.
Yeah, I think you are. I've heard you're good at
not in basketball, but yes.
No, you are. No, yeah. I've always loved your confidence, and just like you're one of my favorite people to talk about, kind of just like high school sports stories and reliving the glory days.
Right.
So
I was good as hell.
Yeah. What did you play growing up, and catch us up on some of your kind of playing career?
Sure. Thanks. This is a great opportunity for me. Growing up, through junior high, it was football, basketball, baseball, the big three. By the end of eighth grade.
And which one were you the best at?
Football. Okay. Absolutely.
And what position did you play?
Football. As a youth, it was just kind of receiver. as I got into high school and like I wasn't as fast as the other guys by then, I was a tight end.
Okay.
And I played cornerback on defense, two-way starter. Two wow. years.
Me too.
What's up?
Okay.
Me too.
But after I quit basketball after eighth grade because I wasn't good. Mm. I hit it. There was one game in eighth grade. I think that was the first year we had three pointers. Mm-hmm. And at one point I got the ball and like no one was open and I was just desperately looking to pass it. And then everybody was just saying, shoot it, dude. I was like, all right. So I shot a three and I made it. And I go, cool. And I go back on defense. But as I'm going back on defense, I look over and every single parent in the crowd is on their feet, just losing their minds. Because Kurt hit a three-pointer.
Aww,
and in that moment, as like a 12 or 13-year-old kid, I was like, all right, basketball's not for me. I got to get out of here. That big a deal when I hit a three, man, basketball's not for me. And then I didn't
feel
play.
Like I would have been like, I'm the best.
Yeah, I thought you were going to be like, in that moment, I decided I'm to play in the NBA.
It's probably, in retrospect, it was dumb. Like, I was probably okay. I probably should have kept playing.
Okay, sorry, I interrupted you.
But then it was all about football, baseball in high school. I was really good. Second team All-State football. Team MVP, first team All-League baseball pitcher. I was a really good pitcher in baseball. Yeah.
Okay, so
I was left-handed.
Oh, I was surprised that you didn't play quarterback. I get quarterback vibes from you, and you're tall.
Yeah, it didn't transfer for some reason. Even though I was a pitcher in baseball, I couldn't throw a football very well. And from a very young age, from the second I like tried out for football, I was just really good at going and getting the ball. I had like exceptionally good hands, unfortunately, for all the other fucking kids. When I tried out for football in fourth grade for the first time, I played with the fifth graders. So
now, were there black people at your school?
No.
Oh, okay. I was genuinely
Kurt's
curious.
Kurt's a very white guy. Yes. MVP.
I was just...
There was one. There was like one or two at a time. There was a kid, Drew, that was like 2 years older than me. And he was cool. Mm-hmm. He was a good baseball player. And then there was Tyrone, who was a year younger than us, and he was a badass football player.
Yeah.
But he would like, I would give him rides home, and he'd make me like mix CDs of like rap music I'd never heard.
Yeah.
It was a cool friendship.
Would you guys play schools that had black people?
I can't remember any, no.
Wow,
I can't remember any other black kids on any of the schools we played.
Fascinating.
But we were small enough that we were only playing other small rural towns.
Of course.
But even the bigger schools outside of Portland, there's not many black people.
Yeah. What we're trying to tell you, Kurt, is your high school playing career is invalid.
It absolutely is. We were so good in football, especially. And then like nobody did anything and like at any level after high school.
Football. What were you nearby? And was this at the same time as Kevin Love or no?
Kevin Love was a little older than me And he was up in Portland. He went to Lake Oswego High School.
Yeah, which is rich as hell.
Fucking asshole.
I mean, I've been to Lake Oswego. It's like,
it's nuts.
It's like a Bond film. Like, it's so beautiful. It's beautiful, but it's rich.
He's a rich kid. His dad's apparently a prick, but by all accounts, he's really cool.
He seems like he's become very, very cool.
I've just heard his dad's a fucking asshole.
That's
which
all right,
makes
yeah.
Perfect sense.
Honestly, Lake Oswego rich people are some of the best I've met. Like, I know very kind, amazingly lovely people from there. They just also happen to be gazillionaires. Yeah. I don't even want to know if I want to put a letter on it, you know?
Yeah. But I want to say to your playing style, just to like sort of segue into the topic here, because
my basketball playing style.
I know I've seen you in just you kind of your character, and I genuinely don't think you are. So our topic today is greatest showboats, and I think you and I maybe do it you more just as a kind of a joke, but I think we also gravitate towards players like this who are very very like
showmen,
charismatic
like, showmen.
It's a stage. The playing field in court is a stage to them.
Yeah. And you put like, yes, I think we both do it a lot, but we both put enough silliness on it that nobody's like pissed off at us. Like when we're showing off, it's me like shoot a shot backwards. Like, and like, I'll make it half the time, but like, it's like a gag.
Oh God.
Like,
it's a gag.
And CJ does the same thing. CJ will do like 10 pump fakes followed by 3 loop-de-loops. And like everyone's laughing, but he like thinks it's good.
Yeah,
I know. See, you—that's the. But he also you're joking. I'm not.
You guys are Weird Al Yankovic of like pickup ball, but CJ thinks he is John Lennon.
And Megan,
he's pistol Pete Maravich. Like nobody sees where the ball's coming from.
Megan, you played. You have a short playing career. Were you at any point a showboat?
Oh, at basketball?
Anything.
Oh, no. At tennis, I was like I was kind of like a bitch. I would fight with people.
I consider that showboat.
But it was also, it was like other 14-year-old girls. Like,
we're also bitches.
And we were, so in tennis, this is what's fucked up.
They weren't.
We didn't have referees or umpires.
Right.
It's two 14-year-old girls playing a sport from opposite sides of the track, you know, based on the honor system. And there would be bitches that would lie for sure. It's also really hard to call a tennis match when you're playing it. So
yourselves,
I would like you were taught, say, are you sure? Very passive aggressive, but that's what you're taught.
Sure
are you sure? Are you sure? And so I would, of course, be like,
repeat
are you
it.
Sure? Okay.
Okay. I've gotten like, that. Are you sure?
I see you.
Yeah. And so that would happen. I once like got into it with the sweetest girl whose sweet mom, even sweeter than her mom, was friends with my sweet mom. And they were there watching us. And I was like so mean and losing and just, just ruined my family's name.
I'd love to see it. I wish there was video.
And like chunky. I was like chubby and mean and not that good. And I had so much attitude on the tennis court.
I love it. Those are the people that should have the most attitude, the people that can't quite back it up. I used to do a lot. I got like, especially in football, like with baseball, especially as a pitcher, it's all about like calm, stoic, getting control. So I was all business in baseball. And I was a bad hitter too. So it was only pitching anyways. But with football, I just get so jacked playing football. I've never been, there's nothing in my life I've done since where I'm just like, yeah, let's go. Like just fucking ready.
Never before like a sketch show?
Dude, I just can't. Like, it's like I'm like an energy bars.
There
it's
are
like an
men
energy
that
bars
do
moving
that.
Up. It's like I'm getting stronger. But like, so there's no stopping me. As soon as I actually do something good, I couldn't help it. I would like spike the ball and then have to apologize to the ref and like... The first touchdown I caught in varsity football, I like jumped up and spiked it and screamed. And my buddy was like, what are you doing? And the ref was like, come on, man. I'm like, I'm sorry.
It
slipped. I said it slipped. And even my friend was still like, oh, it slipped. Sure, dude. So like everybody's making fun of me. And like, I just showed up. And there's a bunch of other ones that were bad. There was one time where like I intercepted a ball and then fell down. And there's a clip of it. I'm right in front of a news camera. I've got it on a VHS tape.
I cannot believe the cameras were there.
And I'm right by our bench. I like as soon as I pop up, I like hold the ball up over my head, like showing it to like the crowd. Like I got it. The ball's ours. And it's right in front of the bench and everybody's like slapping me, but I'm like staring at the crowd, like not even paying attention. And then somebody comes up and lifts me from behind and I drop the ball over my head. Just like the most obnoxious shit.
That sounded cool. I thought you were going to say you like stepped into a Gatorade cooler and fell down. Like that's what I was expecting.
That's very likely. We got to
get into the topic. Yeah. Well, I was going to say people are going to be mad at us, but I think any of the people that liked just us talking have left a long
time
ago.
Should we take a break?
Yeah, we'll take a break.
Okay.
And when we come back, we will be back with the greatest showboat.
And we are back. We're going to do the topic without fail, guys. Kurt, also, if you haven't seen a picture of him and don't know who he looks like he should be in the movie Everybody Wants Some. That's all I'll say. Well, I needed to say that.
Okay. So we're doing Greatest Showboat. Did you tell him to kick it off? Oh, okay. Sorry. There's too many screens. You know, it's hard.
I know.
When there's so many screens, it's hard to say, get out of here, screen. Okay.
Get this woman a stage. She misses stand up.
Get out of here, screen.
Yeah, I miss it so much. Oh my God. I'm just on the Zoom shows giving it my all, just 100%.
I know, it's bad.
Okay. So, Kurt, since you are our guest, you start us off with your number three pick. We go in
descending order.
Descending order, number three pick. Was I supposed to have a top three ready to go?
Yeah.
Yes.
Didn't tell me that.
I thought we said that in a text.
You said something like you got to have nine.
Nine.
Like,
all right. No, nine between us.
Okay. Do you want me to go? And then maybe you can, or do you just want to throw a name out there? Someone you like that's a showboat. And then we'll just talk about it.
Yeah.
That's more what it is.
Let's start. He's not my number one. So we'll start with him just in case. Deion Sanders.
Great.
The fucking coolest ever. Mm-hmm. And what I love about him, you could compare him to like T.O. Maybe one of you are going to bring him up.
Yeah.
Like a Terrell Owens. The thing with Terrell Owens was more like, it was like mean-spirited when Terrell did it. It was like revenge. It was like there was an extra bit of like
planned
bitterness behind everything T.O. did.
But There was an edge.
Everything Deion did was about showman. He was showing off. He's tiptoeing. He's like smiling. He's dancing.
Joyful. It was joyful.
So playful and joyous. And like, almost silly, like the stuff me and CJ were talking about. So there was something about him I gravitated to.
Draft night, from the second he started.
Get go. And like even some of his shit's annoying. Like he did some shit in baseball that I'm like, all right, take, like he drew a dollar symbol in front of the home plate at Yankee Stadium in like his
That's
first at bat.
Crazy.
And Carlton Fisk like got in his face, like fucking knocked that off too. And he's like a little kid. He looked scared as hell. Carlton Fisk like getting his face and he's like, I just, sorry. Deion looked really scared.
I like but it. I like the knowledge.
He's trying to have fun, but that's even more what makes him more likable. So I love Deion and I latched onto him right away. Even as a young kid whose dad is very much a fan of the like Barry Sanders, just hand the ball to the ref guys.
Yeah.
My dad loves that shit. So like
all
I
dads
was still
do.
In the mindset of like, oh, be respectful.
Yeah.
But I still ended up wearing a Deion jersey once a week. Through all of like junior high. Like I'm in my seventh grade class picture wearing my Deion Cowboys shirt. It was my favorite shirt. So Deion for sure.
That's a great one.
Yeah, it came out. Someone asked Marvin Harrison once, like, why don't you ever celebrate when you score touchdowns? And he goes, because that's my job. And every white dad was like, that's our hero. That is our hero. And even I was like, yeah, that's his job. But it's like, if I scored a touchdown, I would rip my clothes off. Like I would go, I would make out with a cheerleader. I would jump in the stands. I would be so thrilled.
That's the one I'm waiting for. I want a couple NFL guys to try to pretend like they're woke. And after a touchdown, I want to see two guys grab each other by the helmet and like face mask to face mask, like make out.
No, I want them to take their helmets off and do it.
That would be cool too.
Okay. Okay. Deion is a great one. I'm sure.
He's a great Subway commercial.
I'm sure he'll come up. I mean, I have spent time around him as an adult, like in his retirement years. And we have eaten a lot of meals together in a green room. And he is very kind. And funny, but is still that. Like, you're in a room of people that are on TV, and he is holding court, and he is, what is it? You ball, you get the call? Listen, you ball, you get the call. That's what you want. You want Dion to call you because he's cool and fun.
Absolutely. I love it.
All right. Megan?
Okay. I wanted to pick a basketball, a baseball, and a football. I wanted to have representation from every sport. And so my number three is the NBA player, and it's Allen Iverson.
Yeah.
I just think of him as, I guess, like, he's not, his showboat is sort of less of what Dion's was and more just like, I am here. I am the best. I'm going to do whatever I want and fuck you. And yeah. It's like, it's attitude, it's showmanship. It's also his size. Like, I think it's not overcompensating, but he is like, he's given you some extra because he is kind of a little guy. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so he's throwing some spice on there. And I just, yeah, I like the way he dressed and carried himself and like practice, that's obviously like so iconic. He knew what he was doing. Like, you don't stumble into one of the most iconic like sayings in sports history. Like, he was making a point and he knew how to like play up his point.
Yeah. It's smart because he's like, you're not going to immediately think of Allen Iverson like fist pumping or like running down like Kirk Gibson or something. But every little stink eye, the fucking stepping over Ty Lue.
Yeah, I was about to bring that up.
Like
yeah.
you're talking about, like every little, it's like he's a show off, but it's because he's from like the streets and he knows he's that good. Like he's that much of a badass. It's like, I don't even have to show off. That's how I'm showing off. Kind of an attitude.
No, he was so good at like, yeah, you when you go to a game, Iverson was putting up stats, but you knew something else was going to happen. Because of like in like that step over to this day in my line of work, maybe the most used sports meme. I mean, there's like crying Jordan, but like the step over is always photoshopped to signify like someone beating somebody else at something.
Right.
Poor Ty Lue.
Yeah.
It's perfect. Great one. Great one.
Okay, thank you.
So you said Dion. I want to say, so I don't know much about him. Other than like, okay, so it's Conor McGregor.
Oh, wow. And, I didn't even go there.
I don't want to even know specific moments. I just know
he assaulted a bus.
Yeah, anytime I've
that's
he's
a show
like,
off.
Yeah,
you think you're faster than me?
Anytime I've ever, I don't think I've ever seen him actually fight a full fight.
No,
I've only just seen him at press conferences. Yeah, footage of him fighting a bus, and then his like dances and celebrations. And so, literally, I only know him as a performer.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say Conor McGregor.
Yeah, that's a great one. I mean,
yeah, because like, what's the context? Is it like show off that like does it only when he's doing really good and he's under control and he's likable otherwise? Or is like, yeah, McGregor could be like the biggest show off of all time, but he's also like a piece of shit and like an asshole. So it's like, it doesn't matter. We just said show off.
What is his
status?
Bad stuff that he's done?
I believe assault, and I don't know.
Assault of a man or a woman?
I don't know specifically.
Great. I mean, technically an important distinction. I think it's mostly just to get to like property and men. Yeah.
Okay.
It's just like, I don't think he's out there beating up women as far as I remember.
You maybe wouldn't want to like have him nanny your kids, but actually he may be fine with children.
And can I,
he's just one of those guys. I get the impression the whole UFC is just like terrified of him. That
he seems
like
a bit of a,
yeah,
not
I think
psycho,
he's
but
lost.
What are your guys' thoughts on someone who is in UFC or boxing and get in trouble with the law for fighting, not sexual assault, but for like assault, like
right, assault of other.
Does that hurt their image?
Yeah. I mean, I know that like the military, once you're like trained in certain things, you know, they sit you down and they're like, hey, don't go home to your town and kill somebody at a bar because you can't, you know, Con Air shit. And so it's like, just because you have the tools to kill someone in a box and fight doesn't mean you can use them outside of. I mean, I find actual boxing to be barbaric, so it's like I'm not pro it in a bar.
Yeah, boxing and UFC are like stupid overall, in my opinion. But so it doesn't necessarily hurt the image. If anything, it probably helps the image. If by image we mean like selling shit with your name on it. Like, he's probably more popular than ever because he gets in bar fights.
Right.
But it's like a very scary, dangerous thing. And it just proves that the sport and masculinity and all that shit is dangerous.
And their brains may be bleeding. You know, they may be having side effects of CTE. I laughed when you said his name because, you know, Irish people, we have so few people. You know, there's just not a lot
in
of
sports
fame, definitely not in sports. And so for the like most Conan. Famous one to be the notorious, like, athlete. You know, sometimes people will be like, fighting Irish, why is that so loud? It's like, well, look at us, you know, like we always fulfill the stereotype. We almost always do.
I'm half Irish
and like, I'll take no sports heroes over Conor McGregor. Like, I don't need a sports hero.
But even when you just
top sports guy.
Even the way, like, we were talking about someone and they were like, the hot one, the Irish one. And my friend and I who are Irish immediately go, Colin Farrell. You know, like, we have so few that it's like on the tip of our tongue. Yeah. And it's like, we just like take who That's we take funny. Who we have. But Colin Farrell is a perfect. He is so, he's like, he's fighting and drinking and
It's charming somehow. It's charming. He's likable somehow.
Because his hair is gel.
Their accents are funny.
Yeah.
You know?
His hair goes, wow.
Even Conor McGregor, he's like, oh, no, blah, blah, blah. It's like, you still sound funny. I know
you're cool, man. I like you.
Kill somebody, but you sound a little leprechaun-y, you know? Okay, should we take a break?
Yeah, we'll take a break. We'll be back with our second and first pick. And we are back. Kurt, keep us rolling.
You opened it up for me in a good way. I had another guy in mind.
Okay.
And then with Connor, you opened something up. So I'm gonna get this guy out of the way now.
Cool.
I forget his fucking name. The boxer man.
The what?
Or the bowler guy. Who do you think you are?
Oh, dang it. You took mine. Yes.
Suck it. I know you tweeted about the Tim character.
Oh, this is the bowling guy. Yeah.
Who do you think you are? I am.
The best show off ever. He straight up just took the suck it thing from wrestling and would do that after strikes. He would do the motion to your crotch and he would say, suck it.
Yeah.
After bowling.
He's like a Will Ferrell sidekick. Like, it doesn't even, it seems like a character. It seems like a character.
Absolutely an SNL sketch of a character. Yeah, it's funny though. I can't remember his last name now.
Pete Weber is his name.
Yeah, but the guy, Tim, what's his name?
Tim Robinson.
Did a knockoff of that character and it like just looks like a normal guy now.
Yeah.
Because that guy exists.
No, that's what I was gonna
him do that character, it would look like a completely fake guy, but now he just looks real.
I was gonna reply, like, no discredit to Tim, but like, it's hard to be as funny funnier than the original guy that this is based on.
That real guy.
Because in that video he does like a tagline and it's like, no, actually the actual one is way funnier. And Tim is maybe the funniest person I've ever met.
Tim is one of the funniest people in the world. And they clearly tried to mimic that specific line. Who do you think you are? I am.
Yeah.
And you can hear the line when they tried to mimic it. And it's just not as good. It's just not as good as who do you think you are? I am.
This guy is so funny.
And I haven't done research. There's a whole documentary, I think, that where everyone found out about him. They did like a 30 for 30 short. But just let's break down that tagline. Who do you think you are? I am. Was that intentional or not?
It was absolutely not. No way was that on purpose. He fucked up and I know it. I mean,
because what do you think he was trying to say?
It's like,
who do you think you are? I think he was trying to say, like, you think you're that on that.
Yeah. He must have mixed up two phrases. There was one phrase that started with, who do you think you are?
Yeah.
And there's one phrase that ended with, I am.
Yeah.
And he mixed them up in his head. He couldn't decide. And he said the both. It's like when you see someone and you want to ask, you can't decide if you should ask, how are you? Or like, what's going on? And you're just like, how you going on? Ah, fuck, I combined them.
This guy is classic. He's so fun and crazy.
Like, it's like, he is like the LeBron or Michael Jordan of ESPN3. You know, it's like.
Because it's the context. It's like, he's bowling. It's like Tiger Woods is out there going, suck it. It's like, oh my God. He's saying suck it on the golf course.
His wife, her name's Dee Dee.
Oh yeah.
And you gotta see her. There's a video. I mean, she's classic. She's classic.
You could play her in a movie.
Big blonde hair kind of.
Oh yeah. Why? That is so rude, CJ.
No, I mean that in a good way.
And like, like, there's
you were good at it. Babe.
I was like, I want to know what his wife looked like, and she looks like it. And the first thing that pops up of her is he's bowling and she's flipping off like ESPN or whatever. Like, she, Dee Dee's classic.
Like, ESPN is out to get you guys. Yeah. Like, nobody's
she's
the bad
laughing.
Guy.
No, no, she's doing a joke. That's like that's Dee Dee's humor is like, you know, which isn't. That if CJ was in the dunk contest, would I maybe like do the like eating out V? Maybe.
Oh my God.
You First do the of all, newspaper thing.
I'm in the dunk contest.
Yeah, you're in the dunk. Listen, I put myself in every athlete we name their spouse's position.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, okay. Check out Pete Weber, that 30 for 30 short.
I want to watch it.
Is so good. So highly recommend it. All right, Megan.
Okay. I'm really excited for my number two. I listened to, I think there's a 30 for 30 podcast about him. And so, you know, we're just plugging all their products. Ricky Henderson.
Oh, yeah.
And like Ricky Henderson is, I really honestly, I know there's other guys in baseball who were like wacky, but like, he became famous, I think, because he talked about himself in the third person. You know, there's all these wild stories. There's some of them are just like they haven't been substantiated and kind of the myth of him grew.
Right.
But like there's a story of him standing naked in front of the mirror, like pretending to swing and just going, Ricky's the best. He's the best. And it's like, I love in front of his own teammates. Yeah. He didn't spend any of his per diem money. He would like, you know, keep it in the envelope. And then if one of his kids did something good or got like a good grade, he would give them an envelope of per diem money. So he's like a cool, fascinating guy. He didn't ever do anything wrong. This is joyful as well too. Like he just loved baseball. Oh, the episode about him is when he goes down to the minor leagues and like independent leagues and was like a father, a mentor. Like men are like crying, weeping about being on a minor league baseball team with Ricky Henderson just because he was so incredible and could still really fucking play at such a late age.
Is Ricky the one who flips or no?
No, that was Ozzie Smith, I think.
Oh, okay.
I considered him, and it's a cool choice. I was thinking baseball. I'm like, I don't know, kind of Griffey, I guess, but not really.
No.
Or like Tatis Jr. now is doing some bat flips. That's cool.
Yeah, I love him.
Maybe. So it's hard to find anybody that's really stands out, but Ricky was at the top of the list of baseball guys I was considering.
Yeah.
Because of what you're talking about, of like, it's not a bunch of outlandish stuff. It's like every little slide and pop up and clap.
He's so fast. And
like celebrate the guys on the bench. And there's little energy behind all of it that's like, I'm excited. I'm having fun. Let's go.
Yeah.
He's just like, he looks like he's on speed the entire time.
He's like, I think he's like the greatest base stealer of all time and considered one of the greatest leadoff hitters of all time. So he's back. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, if Major League, the movie, stole characters based on people, he is the prototype for, is it Wesley Snipes?
Whatever. Wesley Snipes guy. Yeah.
Wesley in the first one.
Okay. And so, he just fast and fun. And he says that he does not speak, like, if you were like, what do you want for dinner? He'd be like, Ricky wants. He says he does not do that. He talks in the third person when he's trying to get on himself. Like, come on, Ricky, do the right thing. Come on, Ricky, step up.
Yeah,
Ricky,
like sure.
That it's a motivator and that it got way blown out of proportion that he did it. But I don't know. Either way, I like that. It.
I think it's cool. And especially in that context, if that's really what he does, like that's cool. Oh, come on, Kurt. Come on, you're better than that. Kurt, like I'll do that. I've done that in my head.
I still do that.
Apparently, this is a message he left to a manager that he was about to be playing for. Kevin, this is Ricky calling on behalf of Ricky. Ricky wants to play baseball.
Yeah. How come that Nike or a brand didn't like embrace that?
I think he was like a lot of people didn't like him because he was so flashy, and he was new, and like stealing bases was still not cool and sexy. And he like just started making it a thing, and he could just do it like 80 times a season or something. And everyone was like kind of scared of him. I think
I forgot
he was changing the game in ways that people weren't ready for.
When he got the record for all-time stolen bases, he gave a speech like it was an award show.
On the field?
He picked up the bag out of the ground.
Thanks God and his mother. I mean, he is...
I love it.
Yeah.
Great.
He's fun.
All right. Side note too, one of our friends, Trevor, he bought a fake Ricky Henderson jersey from China, and it says Ricky Henderson. And
how much did he
I remember,
wait,
and I don't know.
He says Ricky Henderson.
It says Henderson. And I don't know that much about baseball. We all know that. And I remember just staring at it for like hours within hanging out with him. I'm like, hey man, do you know that it says Henderson on the back of your jersey? He goes, oh yeah, I got it from one of those bootleg sites in China. So,
dude, I want to buy everything from those sites. Yeah. I'm scared.
It just takes forever for them.
I would trust that instinct, mm-hmm. Kurt. I would trust the scared instinct.
And I'll tell you what.
From someone who buys stuff
online.
All right. So my number two pick. So this is a guy who actually does it in his play, or did it in his like the way he plays. And I think it's, I would consider a showboat, Jason Williams, Chocolate.
Yeah. He was on.
Fuck yeah.
He was on some lists.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like his play, like it's the same as we were talking about with pickup. His play itself is so silly.
Yeah.
But it's like showing off. You're going to hit it off your elbow. You fucking show
off.
Yeah.
And I guess, show off and showboat. The definition partly is like completely unnecessary. And for the simple, simple purpose of showing off. I remember like the greatest kind of streetball highlight in NBA history is probably that rookie game where Jason Williams throws it off his elbow. And if you like calculate all of it, really didn't do anything. Didn't trick anyone.
No one was trying to stop him.
If anything, it's like confusing. You're like, why did he do that? And that's like that's altering the defense somehow. But
yeah.
And I feel like his coach is probably like, yeah, being like, you're a showboat, or stop showing off out there.
Just give him the ball. You don't have to do it five different ways.
So
no, one of the best clips, that's one of my favorite highlight reels to watch on YouTube, first and foremost. White Chocolate's like the go-to. And one of the best clips of it is when he crosses up Gary Payton.
Yeah.
And Gary Payton makes this face like, oh, shit. Yeah. Gary Payton's like blown away that Williams broke him down like that he's he got beat so bad that he's enjoying it. And he's looking back on Williams like, oh my God. So for someone like Gary Payton to be blown away with how much you're showing off, because Peyton was a show off.
He showed up to show off.
Sean Kemp were like the OG, like fucking let's show off, let's show out.
When I was doing my quote unquote research for this episode, all of the articles were written by men who were so mad at these athletes. Like headline was like the biggest showboating asshole. Donkey boot, letting get like they were. Donkey everything boot. Was mad, and then they'd be like, "This guy could be a good player if he would just step his bullshit." Like so angry at these players, so angry, and it's like fun people. You're like all of these. This is like Hall of Famers, awesome, cool guys.
Yeah. It's white guys, lazy white guys who were like miss the days when they were still good enough.
Yeah. Mad white sports writers who can't dunk. It's like okay, I mean, you're here to report. Okay.
Yeah, the classic white dad thing is like, that guy shows off too much. He's always doing this razzle dazzle. It's like, why are you watching sports to watch someone do their job? Like,
you
want to
watch clean steps and backboard usage? Yeah. Like,
the mic and drill.
The best ever. Let them have fun.
Let's have some fun. Okay. We've already taken two breaks.
Yeah, we've taken two breaks. Let's just roll right into our number one pick.
So I'm going first.
So Kurt, how we do it is the guest is our big grand finale.
Oh my God, I'm so nervous. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Oh, I have one honorable mention, and it's Babe Ruth. Just to call your shot is so bold, I think. To just
that's true.
Point that and be mind. Like, it's going, it's crazy.
And have a candy bar. I mean,
and it, oh, and that is a show off. That is a show off to have your own candy bar. Okay, so gosh.
I think it's all about you, man.
You guys are going to be mad at me for how I did this, but my number one pick is just wide receivers.
Oh, just the position?
And so the two that like initially came to mind outside of Dion are T.O. and Chad Ochocinco. I mean, so I guess if I had to pick, I would pick Ochocinco because he changed his name to Ochocinco, which was his number, and legally did it, and now has since changed it back. And like, you know, a famous celebrator, a famous sort of like trash talker, really fun, really fast, cool, good. And on a team that like never really was able to get him to, like he made his own national stage in Cincinnati. Like it was just like, okay, everyone here is boring and all we have is Skyline Chili. I'll dance into your hearts. And he did. And I follow him on Twitter and he acts like this on Twitter. Like it's just who he is to just want to interact and like have fun and be raw and be real. Like sometimes he is apologizing. Like he's just someone, he's just saying like thinking and saying everything. And so sometimes he has to go, oh yeah, I shouldn't have done that. But he just is so, he is like a movie wide receiver to me.
That's a perfect pick. I was kicking myself for not even considering him or thinking of him. He was fantastic. He was one of the best celebrators of all time in the NFL. He had so much fun and everything, the name changing. But one thing people forget or people don't pay attention to, go back and watch some of the footage of him. He worked as hard as anybody.
Yeah.
He busted his ass, man. And he blocked and he ran clean, fucking crisp routes. He was like working people. So he worked really hard and people only paid attention to the outlandish stuff. But like he always delivered. He rarely made a stink like a T.O. would in terms of like, give me the ball more. Like, I think he did some probably, but like never, it was never that significant. He never went full like Antonio Brown or anything, but he was fun and he worked hard and there was joy in it. There was joy in the celebrating and the showing off because he clearly just loved it so much. And he's just like, he had that same Ricky Henderson energy of like, I just want to run and I want to catch and I want to move and I want to cut this way and cut that way and let's go. And yes, we did it. It's like just that, like they're on speed kind of energy because they just love playing that much.
Yeah,
I love following his love life too. He's dated some reality stars. I saw him and I think her name is Eden. She was on one of the reality shows. I saw them fighting out in Lucas Oil Stadium at the Super Bowl. They are having a lover's quarrel inside.
He's also one of those guys who, like, you know, he's only ever been that guy. Like, he might actually just be stupid. You know what I mean? Because he's only ever just been, like, a charming guy who's, like, a freak athlete. So, like, there's an energy to him where he's, like, I feel like he's very, like, still, there's a degree of, like, he's a little stilted. You know what I mean? He's probably not that mature. Maybe not mature is the better phrase as opposed to stupid. But, like, he's probably just, like, a goof.
I bet he's still in playing shape.
Chad?
Oh, yeah. He's sprinting on things. It's like, you don't need to be sprinting really that hard, Chad.
Him and T.O. both look in the same shape they did when they
played. Still great. Yeah.
Wow. Good for them. Not me.
Yeah.
Not me.
I can't stay the same shape.
For women, it's probably wedding shape. You know, that's our playing shape. And we'll see. Okay, CJ, give us your number one. You got any honorable mentions?
I do, but I don't want to take them. Well, let me say, Terrell Owens was one of them. And then, Kurt took Pete Weber from me. So I just have my pick. Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali is just, I mean, I think greatest, like, showman, showboat, most confident athlete I've ever seen. And granted, like, I didn't get to experience his prime in real time. And so I'm just watching, like, documentary footage, but just like him dancing in the ring, all the like some of them probably has the most iconic sports photography because he was almost putting it on for the camera. He was almost like striking the pose. I remember there's this one story, and I think I've said it on the podcast before, where there was a time when he knocked a guy out and the guy hadn't fallen like completely yet, and he could have legally hit him again to make sure. But Ali backed off to watch him fall for the dramatic, like the dramatics of it all. And so, like to me, that is the greatest. Like literally, he is the greatest.
He like as I was doing Ricky Henderson research, that's his idol. You know, like he is so many. He was a trailblazer for the showboats to come.
Yeah,
you know, or like I want to be like Muhammad Ali. Like I want to be the greatest, and even just declaring yourself the greatest is showmanship.
Yeah,
and he met the Beatles. Huge,
greatest show off ever. Met the Beatles.
So Muhammad Ali. All right, Kurt. Bring us home here with your number one pick.
You freaking stole mine. It's of course Muhammad Ali is number one. I mean, it's like the lazy choice because he's like actually clearly the greatest ever at it.
Yeah.
So that was my number one. Yeah, just like the the dancing and the showmanship in the ring is one thing, but like his like poetry yep. of his interviews was insane. Like yeah. the way he was like his own hype man, and just like he gets going, he's like a pastor up in the church going crazy. Everybody's losing their mind listening to him because he's just so he gets this energy and he builds and he builds and he builds, and it all like rhymes, and there's a beat to it. It's like almost yeah. like a rap, and there's like it was insane. He was like the most interesting, creative, like outlandish.
Yeah.
Like cool.
And he like played
ever.
It up with he had like characters in his life. Sorry, Megan, I stopped you from saying something. But the way he like played it up with like Howard Cosell and Don King, like he like played into that, like played characters.
Yes, he must have. Yeah, there must have been a like, oh, I'm going to go a little extra on this. You know what I mean? Like there had to have been some self-awareness there to still go out and be that good every time you fought. You have to be a little self-aware of like, ooh, this is part of it. This mm-hmm. is like, we're building hype here. We're selling tickets, et cetera. So it's genius. I'll try to save it a little bit with this lackluster finish with some honorable mentions to think about. Right off the bat, you got the Brandi Chastain, you got the Rapinoe with her like
arms
out.
Yeah, oh, yeah. yeah. That was a great one.
But that also opens up like all the male soccer players too. Like
oh,
some of these
right.
guys,
that's I
all like every single goal they're sliding on their yeah. knees. And,
yeah, soccer. Like, sorry, really, we forgot you.
But like they all get to do it, and they all do it. So no mm-hmm. one really stands out outside of that. Those two, Rapinoe and Chastain. There's no other moments that I can think of like that one time that yeah. one guy did this.
Well, like an Italian or a Spaniard, that's a level of like, you know, those are showmen. Oh, come on, they're showmen in the streets. You know, they're
yeah,
just showmen.
Every outfit they're showing up. Yeah. yeah. But there's, you know, who else was I thinking about? There's a lot of subtle show offs that I love. Like Steph Curry and Aaron Rodgers are the two I think of most who like show off a lot, but never big. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers is always doing that little discount double check, the check of the belt. And he's always doing the cutest like first downs when he gets the first down, that yeah. thing that all white quarterbacks do whenever they run for one. That little cute little point of a finger. But Philip Rivers, by the way.
He's a little showboat. Yeah.
Really?
He gets a little. Oh, well, yeah. He's one of the biggest trash talkers yeah. in the game. He goes nuts. He screams
and
at guys.
He doesn't
like,
curse.
From across the side.
He doesn't curse.
Yeah. Probably why I didn't think of him.
Kids.
I really do wonder how the defense, which did not play well yesterday, how the defense likes this like old white religious man. I bet when he's on your
okay.
team, it's like pretty fun. Yeah. I bet it's pretty fun.
Yeah. No. When he's on you, it's like Baker Mayfield, like, oh, you're on our side.
Yeah, Baker, I'm sort of just ignoring him. Like, CJ will be like, let's go, Philip. And I'm like, no, we're not really,
we don't need to focus
you know,
on Phil.
Like, there's other guys out there, you know, we can focus on them.
Yeah.
Kurt, tell us a little bit about the movie.
Yes.
Yeah, thanks, guys. The movie's called Derek's Dead. I made it 2019, bunch of friends. Helped out, got some help with these producers. I want to shout out Lenny Barsap and Aaron Brown. Thank you guys. And yeah, we just made it for fun. It's funny. It's a comedy. It's about the plot again. Here, I got to remember the pitch. It's about two former best friends who currently hate each other, but they're forced to reconnect when their third former best friend, who they also hate, oof. Dies and tasks these two idiots who hate each other with spreading his ashes wow, as like yeah. his last wish. Oof. So these guys are kind of forced to reconnect over this other guy that they don't even like dying. And then it gets weirder from there. You're not even going to
okay.
believe it.
Yeah, no, the one of the guys is Joe McAdam, who was our last guest. Mm-hmm. It's very funny. I know a lot of people said that they enjoyed him. So yeah, check it out. Like you guys kind of did on a small budget and went out there and made something that was really, really funny. I saw
yeah,
it last
thanks,
year
man.
And yeah, super, super funny.
It was fun to do. I'm very proud of it, and I'm happy it's coming out. It is just available for pre-order right now on iTunes, but if you can swing it, it makes us look really fucking cool. So
yeah.
pre-orders would be tight.
Okay, that's
no
what pre-order. That's what we're gonna
pre-order
do.
Pre-order. Derek's dead. It's called
Derek's
dead.
And I'm not even saying this. I hope no one is listening to this podcast with their child named Derek. I'm not saying this to be funny, but it does sound like it could be a holiday film. Being around people from your past has a lot
of... Yes, reconnecting
yes.
with past and
yeah.
letting go of certain things, forgiveness,
uh-huh.
reconnection. I should point out that I named this guy Derek. The guy that's dead is Derek Anderson.
Oh, that's why?
I specifically named him after a guy in high school. Lost the state championship to the team whose quarterback was Derek Anderson, who went on to play in the NFL for years.
Wow.
He had one really good season with the Browns, and he backed up Cam Newton for years in Carolina.
By all accounts,
a nice guy, but he called me a bitch in the state championship game. Well, here's what happened. I was such a show-off, playful guy in high school football. I would small talk with the other guys and try to be their buddy.
Yeah.
And there was one time where some guy I thought I was cool with was hit me in the jaw and jabbing me and punching me in the ribs. And I was like, what's going on, man? I thought we were cool. I was literally confronting him like that. Like, what's up, man? I thought we were buddies. Are you okay? But Derek Anderson, future NFL quarterback, witnessed that. And he thought I was trash talking. And I was hey, he was acting crazy. I was telling him to calm down. And then Derek Anderson said, you calm down, bitch.
Well, I mean, when you said had a very good season with the Browns, it's like, I don't recall that. So,
sorry, pal.
I don't think it happened.
One good season.
I recall that Derek Anderson.
Shut up, CJ.
And I recall that Derek Anderson in the NBA, one of Jordan Brand's first NBA players. All right. Well, Kurt, thank you so much. Where can people find you?
Twitter and Instagram, Kurt Neils. Kurt with a C, Neil spelled N-E-I-L-L.
All right. You can find me at CJ Toledano.
And me at Megan Gailey. Please, guys, I don't want presents. I don't want mistletoe. I don't even need to see my family. I just want you to rate and review the podcast. 5 stars.
Oh, God, please.
5 stars. My mom is doing it. She said she figured out how to do it. If my mother, whose age I won't say, but she looks younger than it, can figure out how to do it. You can figure out how to do it.
Did she leave a funky name for the review?
I bet it's Pioneer Peggy.
Pioneer Peggy, that's good.
Shout out to Pioneer Peggy.
Shout out to Pioneer Peg.
Shout out to Grumps. Shout out to all of our regular listeners who reply after every episode. We love you guys.
And listen, I know we didn't say any Bills players, but we like them.
We like them.
We like Jim Kelly.
Shout out to the Bills. Shout out to Thurman Thomas.
Yes. Okay. And we'll see you next week, but please be safe. The Greatest is a production of iHeartRadio.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.